Krisus Perik Beis Mishnah Vav 2-6, the last of the three Mishnayos that are discussing the Shifa Charufa and the halachas around that situation. Now, the structure of these three Mishnayos really is a little surprising. We first, in Mishnah Dalid, in the middle of the Mishnah, started saying the differences between the Shifa Charufa and other forbidden unions. Then, in Mishnah Hey, we went back and said, oh, what actually defines a Shifa Charufa? What is that case? And now here in Mishnah Vav, we're kind of going back again to what we discussed back in Mishnah Dalet, which are differences between regular forbidden unions, their halachas, and the halachas of the forbidden union with the Shifa Charufa. What's even more surprising is that this Mishnah, although its main point is to contrast other arayas with the halachas of Shifa Charufa, there's no mention whatsoever of Shifa Charufa in this Mishnah. So this Mishnah looks like basically saying kind of three general principles that apply to general Isuri forbidden relations, forbidden unions. And the punchline is sort of left unsaid. The punchline is, and that doesn't apply to Shifa Charufa, which is different. And the basic principle of Shifa Charufa, in contrast to these we're about to list, is that, as you said earlier, the Shifa Charufa, the he and she get different punishments, but it's a package deal. She gets malchus, lashes. He is obliged to bring the asham Shifa Charufa, that guilt offering, the asham. But he's only obligated to bring it if she's obligated to bring it, and essentially vice versa. It kind of goes as a package deal. And if for whatever reason she's not obligated, then he won't be obligated. Okay, so here the Mishnah says inside, first of all, the three halachas that are just applied to general arayas in general. And again, at the end, we're going to say, in parentheses, not explicit, but implicit, to be understood, that doesn't hold when it comes to the Shifa Charufa. In any case, here they are. It says, Kol ha'arayos, all the other forbidden unions, Echa gadol ve'echad katan. If one of the participants is a gadol, meaning they're a bar bat mitzvah, and the other one isn't, so then hakatan patur. Well, the adult bar bat mitzvah person is chayev, but the minor is not chayev. Worth noting that when it comes to isurei bia, these forbidden unions, so for a boy, for the act itself to be considered to be just a legal act that would constitute an isur bia, that it would be anything at all, in this context anyways, the boy, has to be at least 9 years old. If the boy is less than 9 years old, even if he participates in the act, you know, physically, it's not considered to be a technical fulfillment of this. It doesn't count, okay? Whatever it is, it's something else. And similarly, if the girl in the story is less than 3 years old, again, it doesn't constitute a halachic act of an isur bia, and therefore, it's something else, not this technical requirement, okay? We'll come back to that at the end of the Mishnah. It raises an interesting question, but hold that thought. Second one says the Mishnah, Echad Er ve'echad Yashen. If one of the two participants is awake and the other one is asleep, however they're asleep, let's say they're drunk and out or whatever the story is, HaYashen Pater. The person who is essentially asleep is not considered an active participant and is totally exempt. Altogether, they're an onus, and therefore they would not have either, if they're not chayav anything, not even a chatas. They're not considered to be a shogeg, and chayav a chatas is nothing at all. But the awake person is, of course, liable to whatever the punishment is as appropriate. And third of all, echad shogeg v'echad mezid. If one of the participants acts not understanding that they're violating the halacha, and the other one knows full well that they are, so then a shogeg b'chatas, the one who did it as a shogeg, again, any isuri karas, so we know if you act with shogeg, then you have to bring a chatas, v'hamezid be kares. The person who acted willfully gets kares. Okay, again, there are no witnesses in warning that would constitute worse than that. But in any case, so this person gets kares. So they get different punishments. Okay, that is the end of the Mishnah. But the kind of unspoken punchline is, and none of that applies when it comes to the Shifa Charufa. When it comes to the Shifa Charufa, if she's exempt, then he's exempt and vice versa. Okay, it's a package, either all or nothing. Now, he doesn't really need to do much, but she needs to be of age and meaning 12 years old, who's subject to Malchus, and she has to be awake, and she has to be mazed. She has to know what she's doing is wrong. If she's shogeg, then she wouldn't be chayiv in Malchus, and therefore he wouldn't be chayiv in the Hashem either. Okay, that's the end of the Mishnah, essentially, and that's the point, and that ends the Perek. There is interesting halacha machlokas regarding the situation in which she takes all the boxes, so she's grown up, she's mazed, she's acts, you know, willfully, and the boy, however, is not a bar mitzvah, so he can't be liable to bring a korban, but he's more than 9 years old, so she sort of has done this forbidden act. So what then? So, it's Machlokas, Rambam, and Ravid. according to the Ravid, since he can't get his obligation to bring a korban because he's a minor, since she'll be off the hook from Chatas, from Malkus as well, it's a package deal. According to the Rambam, she'll get Malkus. He's a minor, so he can't bring a chat, bring an asham. But when he reaches the age of bar mitzvah, at that point he will bring the asham. Okay, so that's a machlokas rishonim.